Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Florence is fickle. The now Category 3 hurricane has taken a bit of a turn towards the south as it moves in the direction of the Carolina coasts. But that doesn't mean we won't get some of it. And this will probably not be the last severe storm of the season. So how do you protect yourself and your home during severe weather? Well, joining me to talk about this are Joy Hatchett. She is Associate Commissioner at the Maryland Insurance Administration, Christopher Rodriguez, Director of D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and Tyrone Wells, Operations Manager with the Prince George's County Office of Emergency Management. Lots of information we're going to be sharing with you this evening. So please, if you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Mr. Rodriguez, let me start with you. Since Mayor Bowser issued a state of emergency for the district on yesterday, what is the update? What is the district expecting as far as the residuals or parts of Hurricane Florence?
Thank you, Harold, for having me on the call.
Sure.
Yes, Mayor Bowser issued the state of emergency yesterday morning. We're continuing to monitor Florence's path. We do know, as you mentioned, that it took a bit of a southwestern turn, or at least the predictions show that once it makes landfall in the Carolinas, that it will continue on a southwest trajectory. But some of the models are also showing that we will continue to get a lot of rain here in the district, not as much as we had originally anticipated, but the mayor is constantly monitoring the storm, and we'll provide recommendations to her at the appropriate time on the emergency order. But ultimately, that'll be her decision to make.
With the state of emergency in place, what is the plan and what does that allow the mayor to do should we see more severe weather?
The emergency order gives the mayor and activates certain executive powers that allow different resources to be available to district public safety and emergency management agencies. It does allow us to, for example, procure high water vehicles or any equipment that we might need in anticipation of major flooding. It also gives her the ability in an extreme circumstance to recommend mandatory evacuations of certain low-lying areas or to impose curfews. But again, those are in very extreme circumstances.
What's going on with the new waterfront district in Southwest and Georgetown? A lot of concern about parking on the new Southwest waterfront area. And of course, we've already seen high water in Georgetown.
We have, and Georgetown is one of the traditionally and historical low-lying areas of the district. That does tend to flood. And fortunately, earlier this week, we worked with the Georgetown bid to ensure that the seawall was erected there in Georgetown to prevent some of the moderate flooding that we were seeing from the remnants of Hurricane Gordon last week. In terms of the wharf, we had originally anticipated, and some of the forecasts over the weekend had predicted a bit of a Hurricane Isabel, which was in 2003 level event. Of course, the wharf did not have the development that it currently has back then. So we were very proactive in reaching out to the businesses and the residents in that area to help them prepare for any major flooding.
Mm-hmm. Are there any plans to address the Southwest waterfront? Any specifics you can share?
Not at this time, although we do, we are looking at that, and again, working with residents and businesses in that area to ensure that any measures that needed to be put in place were properly vetted and socialized with businesses and residents.
We're talking about protecting your family, and your home during severe weather. Of course, all of this ahead of landfall for Hurricane Florence expected in the southeastern states along the coast within the next couple of days. If you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Wells in Prince George's, what's the biggest concern? What is the plan ahead of Hurricane Florence and any severe weather that we should get?
Well, thank you, Harold. Certainly, like every other jurisdiction in the area,
our concern is that we've already had a lot of rain over the last week, so the air is well saturated, and the instance of area-wide flooding, flash flooding, trees coming down because the ground beneath them is weakened, branches coming down, those types of things are very real at this point. So if we're lucky and we don't get quite as much rain over the weekend, that will help the situation a lot. If we see quite a bit more over the weekend or going into next week, then that may create some of those circumstances. Mm-hmm. So that saturation that we've already received is a big concern. And we also want to make sure people adhere to things like, you know, turn around, don't drown, just those basic norms of don't drive through that moving water. It's not.
And in Prince George's, there are some hot spots, wet spots, bad spots, whatever you want to call them. What are some of the top three areas that we always see in Prince George's that people, they're supposed to turn around, they're supposed to pay attention, but they don't? What do you warn them about?
Well, there are areas in Upper Marlboro, different segments of Upper Marlboro that tend to flood if we get a lot of rain. Perhaps in the Bladensburg, Colmo Manor area, there's some known flood areas there. In Laurel and in other parts of the county, down in the Clinton area, some roads that routinely have high water as well as out in Bowie. So, and if you do live in that area, you tend to know what's mm-hmm. going to happen, and those folks are probably a little better at it. It's other folks who aren't familiar with the area, but you know, why chance it?
Yeah.
You know, go back the other way. And the other issue right now is, I think for a lot of people, this has been a preparedness activity opportunity. Don't stop. Continue to work through your personal plans, your family plan, your plan for if I'm at the office and everyone else is at home, the plan for your office itself. You know, if you're stuck there, neighbors,
yeah.
neighbors, you know, neighbors, friends, family that you know may need some assistance. Checking on those people during any type of emergency that we may have in the area. So it's really been a very, in the preparedness month, what a better time than to have
right.
an opportunity.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say, you know, with September being emergency preparedness month, and I want to ask Joy Hatchett, what's the word from the state, not just because it's emergency preparedness month, but we've known that Hurricane Florence was coming. What's the word from Annapolis?
Well, thank you, Harold.
Sure.
Essentially, what we are just trying to make sure that people do is, even though we're not going to get the brunt of this storm, there will probably be flooding. And as a result of that, people will have flooded basements. There will be flooding in the streets and whatnot. So what we're just trying to make sure people do is to take precautions and to protect both them, their homes and their families. And if you see an area, as people have already said, that looks as if there is water in the street, don't take the chance and drive into that, because we have seen time and time again over the last few months where people have been injured or even lost their lives because they have gone into areas where they should not have.
Mm-hmm. If you're concerned, if you're a homeowner or perhaps you even live in a condo for that matter, if you have homeowner's insurance, should you go into that personal file right now and look to see if you are protected, if you have an insurance rider to deal with possible flooding or other severe weather issues?
Well, what we tell folks to do is, before an event happens, take a look at your homeowner's policy and see what exactly the coverages are. Now, when it comes to flooding, as you and I have discussed in the past, your homeowner's insurance policy is not going to cover that. You would have had to have purchased a separate flood insurance policy. However, for some of these folks, they may have damage based on water sewer backup. So on their homeowner's insurance policy, they need to look to see if, in fact, they have a rider to protect against water sewer backup. So the time to pull all that information out is now, to review those policies and see exactly what the coverages are that you have. Now, at this point, with the storm coming, you can't make any changes now to your policy for this particular storm. But what you can do is, once this is over with, you can either purchase additional coverage or look into buying flood insurance.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about protecting yourself, your family, your home during severe weather. All of this a conversation ahead of Hurricane Florence as it heads toward the southeastern coast. I want to thank, first of all, Christopher Rodriguez with the D.C. Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. I know we've got to let you go, so thank you so much for sharing some information with us. Also, if you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810. I should say the doctors are in and are experts regarding this severe weather, particularly as it relates to insurance and emergency preparedness. So please give us a call. We are taking calls even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. And Mr. Wells, let's talk a little bit about what you should do. Because as I said in the beginning of the program, just because we do not expect Hurricane Florence to be a major factor for the D.C. Metro, but this is really just the beginning of hurricane season. And so as a result, it is very likely that we may unfortunately see more severe weather that may cause us to consider evacuation or at least preparedness. So from your perspective, before you leave and decide to drive to New York or to drive to West Virginia to visit to stay with your folks, what do you need at home to be safe there?
Well, we constantly encourage people to prepare in a number of ways. Prepare your home, you know, things that you may have on the exterior during the summertime. You know, bring those things in, things that would be unsecured if we did have winds or you had heavy, a foot of water around your house, what may float away. So you want to secure the home, clear drains, gutters, those types of things. For your person, your family, what things do I need if I have to leave here? And are they in such a manner that I can quickly gather them, or do I already have a couple of backpacks already ready to go? You know, all I have to do is grab a case of water on the way out the door, and we can go to that relative's or friend's home if our home begins to come inundated. So thinking those things through, what would the kids need for a few days? What would the pets need if you have them? What would the baby need? And it may sound like, you know, we don't have all that extra stuff, but it's not as difficult as you may think it is to gather a few things and keep the family ready in such an instance. Also, in the age of technology,
And I want to get to that. I've got to get a quick question into Joy because this is one of the things that did come up, and it comes up just about every time we have this discussion. The tree falls on your house, Joy, but it's not on your property. It falls on your house, but it's in a neighbor's property. Who's responsible?
You are.
So even if it's...
Even if it's your neighbor's tree, your neighbor's tree falls on your house, that is a claim against your insurance. The only possible way that your neighbor might be responsible is if your neighbor knew that they had an old rotten tree that was about to fall, then potentially they might be responsible. But as a general rule, your house, if something falls and damages it, you're responsible.
Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have insurance questions or home safety questions pre-storm, this one or any other, please give us a call. We are answering all of your questions even after 7:30. This is particularly the case if you have flood-related damage, trees falling, anything that you want to share with us, the experts are here. So give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Again, your phone calls coming up, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This conversation will continue in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voyager.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about protecting yourself and your home during severe weather. All eyes, of course, on Hurricane Florence as it barrels toward the Carolina coast. It's a big storm, though, and we may get a lot of rain between now and next week. Joining me to talk about this are Joy Hatchett. She is Associate Commissioner at the Maryland Insurance Administration, and Tyrone Wells, Operations Manager with the Prince George's County Office of Emergency Management. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wanda, calling from Hagerstown. Thanks for calling, Wanda. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I had a question with regard to having work completed after you have storm damage. My daughter, we have a situation right now where my daughter and son-in-law, their home was damaged due to a storm. Insurance company came out. They had the service pro remove drywall and do all of that. So now we're at the point where we need a contractor. And my daughter has been contacting contractors, but this one contractor told her that she needed to give him the estimate from the adjuster, and he would work directly with the adjuster to do the repairs for the basement. And I told my daughter, that sounds suspect to me. I don't trust that. I don't think that's how that's supposed to work.
Ms. Hatchett, do you have a thought about that?
Yeah. Generally speaking, what ends up happening is the insurance company comes out, they send their adjuster, the insurance company looks at and makes a determination as to what repairs need to be done, and they will put a price on how much money they will give you. And right. Then you go out and you get your own contractor, and the contractor will basically take a look at the home and determine how much it would cost him or her in order to do the repairs. And then once the contractor has their quote, that quote is provided to the insurance company. And if there's a difference, then the contractor and the insurance adjuster would sit down, because sometimes there can be a difference in the scope or the amount of the damage. So it looks to me, it sounds a little bit odd that the contractor wouldn't do their own estimate. That just seems just a little bit suspect. So what you may want to do is to talk to some other contractors.
Yeah.
And always, when you're getting a contractor, make sure that they are licensed. In the state of Maryland, we have something called the Department of Labor Licensing and Regulations. You should get in touch with them. Make sure that contractor has a license, because if anything goes wrong with the repairs, you can actually file and get action taken against that contractor.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Excuse me. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Mr. Wells, one of the things that a lot of people are really kind of unclear about is, where do they go for help if it related to the weather, if it is non-emergency help? Because I'm quite sure that whether it's D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Prince George's, Fairfax, Montgomery, it doesn't matter. You don't want people calling 911 for every single thing. But if you have an issue and if you have a scenario under which they may not need to call 911 but need to alert your office, your staff, what would they call and what might that scenario be?
So Prince George's County has 311. That would be a great starting point. If you don't believe it's an emergency but you're seeking some assistance, you're seeking some help, some guidance, that's a good starting place. Depending on the nature of their issue, we'll refer that, or the county will refer that to the appropriate agency to get you moving in the right direction. There may be assistance that is available from local government, and most counties and jurisdictions in this area have 311. There may be assistance available through local government. They may not. They may be able to refer you to other forms of assistance, or at least give you advice that will help get you going in the right direction, because there are various issues that people run into that it's their responsibility, but you know, certainly we want to give them some ideas on how to move forward if at all possible.
When it comes to dealing with geography and this kind of severe weather, I know that in some of the southern parts of the county and in some of the, you know, some of the new developments, there have always been issues. So when you're kind of under the state of emergency, what's the plan for kind of monitoring any of the issues that may be troubled or may have a history of trouble in the county?
Well, each agency, such as our permitting department, they've been out this week looking at construction sites, working with those developers to ensure that the project is properly secured, if they have to secure equipment to minimize runoff or erosion from the construction process. If you're living in a development that's been recently developed, typically the developer's still on site, so they have some responsibilities, or if it's turned over to the homeowners association, then there may be other issues there. So it just really depends on what state that property may be in. And again, there are county agencies that can provide some input regarding flooding issues. The Prince George's County Department of Environment has some extensive information regarding flooding issues, and not just when it's raining, but before it's raining. Things that you can do or pursue to help mitigate some of those problems. Or you may be identifying an issue that it wasn't even really known, so they want to know about that.
Okay.
So it certainly helps to reach out and inquire and seek information.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about making sure that your home and your family are protected when we have severe weather coming our way, whether it is a direct impact of a hurricane or just a glancing blow, lots of wind and lots of water. So if you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Hatchett, one of the other questions as it relates to insurance, we talked about flooding and sewage backup and the like, But what about wind? Do you also need to have specific riders in your insurance regarding wind damage as well? And how does that work?
Generally speaking, your typical homeowner's insurance policy is going to cover damage caused by wind. So you don't need to get a specific rider for that. Now, one of the things that you do need to pay attention to is if you have a specific separate deductible for wind damage, because sometimes homeowners insurance policies will have one specific deductible for things like fire or theft, but there may be a different deductible for wind damage. So every year your insurance company sends you something called a declaration page, and everyone really focuses in on the amount it costs to renew your policy. But consumers should pay a little bit closer attention to what's covered, what's not covered, and what the different deductibles are, because that's going to be key.
Mm-hmm. When you spoke earlier about water-related damage, if your home takes on water from the inside versus the outside, how do you know that one is sewage backup? Or what if you do have water, gosh, coming through the floor? And this, you know, this is so complicated. How do you know whether or not the water, if your basement is flooded, how do you know that it's coming up from the floor or coming in from outside? If it's a pipe issue, if it's coming from the ground, is that flooding? Gosh, help me out here.
It is very complicated. And the general rule of thumb is if there's water that seeps from the outside into your home, from the basement or through the walls or whatever, that's generally speaking considered a flood. If you have in order to have coverage for that, you would have to have a separate flood insurance policy. If you have a pipe that is suddenly and accidentally burst, that's usually something that the damage would be under a homeowner's insurance policy. If you have sewage that backs up through either the toilet or something else, then sometimes, and it's really going to depend on the specifics of that situation, that's generally something under the additional rider that you would get with your homeowner's insurance policy. It's complicated, and what we just put an article on our website. If people go to our website, there's an article that we just put out that sort of speaks to some of the differences between flood damage, which you'd have to have a flood insurance policy for, and water damage, because you get into all the issues about sump pumps, and if the sump pump stops working, why did it stop working? So anytime we're dealing with water issues, it is very complicated.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Wells, talk to me a little bit about how people should prepare for power outages, because I know that those kinds of situations can be dangerous when people are in the dark.
You're correct. I'm glad you brought that up. We started with Florence, hurricane, the storm, and often it's not the initial hazard that creates issues for people. It's the what we call cascading events. So there may be damage in your community as a result of the hurricane, wind, etc., but you lose power.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose power, that creates a whole nother set of issues for individuals. Obviously, if you're not used to functioning without power, that's a problem.
Very few of us are.
that's a problem, yeah. Right off the bat. If you don't have emergency lighting in the way of flashlights, battery-powered devices, some people have generator backup for their home if they're lucky enough to have that. Some people have portable generators, which you want to make sure you put on the exterior of the home to operate. And have some plan as to if I have a generator, I'm going to utilize that. What am I going to power? What am I going to turn on? Am I going to maintain the refrigerator? Spoiled food becomes a hazard if someone in the home depends on medical devices that are powered by electricity. Do you have a battery backup? How long will that last? Can I open my garage door? Do I have a battery backup for that? Do I have backup power for my lifeline, my cell phone, my smartphone? Some folks live by that. And if you, whether you do or you don't, once the power goes out, maybe I need to conserve my usage on that device. So the loss of power can be significant the longer it lasts. And I've been involved in situations where people are without power for in excess of 72 hours, and they don't become they're not nice anymore after a few days.
I would imagine
without power, we just depend on it, and we don't realize how important that is to our daily life and things that won't work around the home. Or even in other, if you're at work, you know, now I'm walking down the steps instead of the elevator. So, there are a lot of issues, related to that. And it becomes a significant problem. Those cascading things that go on. Maybe I can drive my car, but none of the traffic lights are working. So it's chaos in the streets. The store's not open because they don't have power. So, I didn't have an opportunity to run to the store before the storm. Now I can't get to the store, or they're not open to serve me. I can't use my debit card.
Yeah.
And many of us live by them. Mm-hmm. You know, not having a backup supply of cash somewhere hidden from everybody else.
Hidden from your wife?
Yeah.
Right. No.
Well, I didn't say that.
I'm just kidding. We're going to take a break on that note. We will be back to talk more about making sure that you are prepared, cash and otherwise, to weather the storm. So stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about protecting yourself and your home during severe weather. Ms. Hatchett, let's talk a little bit. We've spoken a lot about homeowners, but what about automobile owners and renters? Anything you want to share about what they need to know regarding, let's say, flood damage for your car?
So essentially, with your automobile in the state of Maryland, you're required to have liability coverage to protect other people if you cause damage to them or to their property. However, you're not required to have coverage for damage done by things like flooding and whatnot. So unless you purchase additional coverage, let's say you have water damage to your vehicle, your automobile insurance policy will not cover that damage unless you have full coverage. And people frequently will say, well, it's not my fault, the car flooded, but that's the purpose of purchasing full coverage. And you just have to make the determination, once you've paid off the loan on that vehicle, whether or not you should maintain full coverage.
So in the example of Main Street in Ellicott City, we all remember that well. Those cars that we saw literally floating down Main Street and were damaged, gosh, do we know whether or not those cars were damaged by the water? Is that flooding? Or were they damaged as a result of the water carrying them away and hitting a building or in the mud? That's not covered by a standard insurance policy.
Well, if the car, you don't even need to wonder if the car floated into a building or anything like, or if it just had water damage. If you don't have full comprehensive coverage and your car either floats away or gets pushed into a building, Your auto insurance policy will not cover that. Folks may remember a few years ago in Baltimore City where cars were on the street and the big sinkhole happened.
Yes.
And cars fell into that sinkhole.
Mm-hmm.
If people didn't have full coverage, those cars were not going to be paid for by their insurance company.
But you're suggesting that full, your standard full coverage, not liability, but the full coverage that just about every person, when they buy a car, new or used, carries, should cover some of these issues.
Exactly. When you first buy that car, be it a new car or a used car, usually you have a lender, somebody that's loaning you money.
Mm-hmm.
Those lenders are going to require that you have full coverage. What ends up happening is once you pay that loan off, a lot of people will drop full coverage and only maintain the required liability coverage.
I see. And let's talk a little bit about renters as well, because I think a lot of people forget that even if you're renting, it's good to have renter's insurance. How does renter's insurance work when you're talking about severe weather issues?
Well, the landlord, whether you are leasing an apartment, a home, or even a room, the landlord is not going to be responsible for your things. So if, in fact, your things are damaged, then you need your own separate policy. Now, if your things are damaged by a flood, your renter's, typical renter's policy is not going to cover flooding.
Really?
Now, you can buy a renter's flood insurance policy, but that's a different policy than your standard renter's insurance.
Sounds expensive.
It depends on where the property, same thing with your home. If you live in a flood zone, yes, it can be relatively expensive. But if you live in an area that is not considered high risk, it's a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Mr. Wells, one of the other things, and this kind of goes back to something I asked you earlier, when residents need to be prepared, what do you suggest that they arm themselves with, any kind of resources or helpful information that they could have in the event that something happens this time or as we continue through hurricane season?
Sure. So there's an array of resources. Prince George's County has a service called a notification service called Alert Prince George's. You can Google that. Alert Prince George's, it'll pop right up. Go in, sign up. That enables us to send you messaging related to emergency situations or other just general things that we may want to let you know about when things are, you know, in what we call blue skies. Also, there are a number of apps that you can get on your smartphone that can help you with preparedness, so you have that right in your hand. Communications between family members beyond the normal social media modes that individuals use. During an emergency in a given area, the normal communication systems can go down or they can be jammed. So there are apps that may help you with that. Apps with the weather. Apps with finding gas or other resources that may be available to stay in contact with friends and neighbors, and then obviously social media, those types of things. Also, I want people to know that if your local officials provide you with emergency measures.
What do you mean by that?
Such as you should evacuate.
Okay.
There's an array of reasons that they've made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Follow it unless there's some overarching reason why you just can't do it. Follow it.
Mm-hmm.
A day later or whatever, you know, you may not be happy with having left, or you may be so grateful that you follow what they did because your home isn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. But those emergency measures, we don't put them out lightly. it's a big decision. You should follow those directives.
Okay. Pursuant to your suggestion, there are some websites that we are going to be posting on our website on WHUR.com, including the alert Prince George's. The link is long, so I'll make sure that I post the link. Also, quickly, Ms. Hatchett, anything, a website that you can share with us quickly?
Insurance.maryland.gov.
We'll also post that as well. Thank you both, Joy Hatchett. Christopher Rodriguez from D.C. earlier, and of course, Tyrone Wells from Prince George's County. Thank you both so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, September 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.